beloved in the Lord. Let us draw near with sincere hearts and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
with us. Keep us aware of your daily mercies, that we may live secure and content in your eternal love. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after Pentecost is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 20th chapter. O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out, I shout, violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terror is on every side. Denounce him, let us denounce him, say all my close friends watching for my fall. Perhaps he will be deceived. Then we can overcome him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous, who sees the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you have I committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of evildoers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 6th chapter. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies, to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations, for just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord.
12 apostles Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next, for truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." This is the Gospel of the Lord. What do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus said, "Whoever confesses me before men, I also will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." This is our text. These words of Jesus are serious. They cannot be taken lightly. They include a great promise. Those who confess Jesus, he will confess before his Father in heaven. And also a terrible warning. Those who deny Jesus, he also will deny before his Father who is in heaven. When I hear these words, I can't help but stop and pray. Lord, help me. Help me not to deny you. Help me to confess you. Now, clearly, Jesus knows that his followers will be questioned. And so we are. We get asked questions about what we believe. We get asked questions about how we live. We get asked questions about who Jesus is and what he means to us. Sometimes the questions are asked out loud, but not always. There are unspoken questions, too. Unspoken questions in the hearts of those who listen to us and watch us. Just think of children. They hear and notice everything. Some of the questions that are asked are honest questions, motivated by curiosity and desire, but other times there are questions that are simply asked to mock Christians or to belittle them. That's why Jesus tells his disciples to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. No one said that confessing Jesus before others would be easy, least of all him. It is challenging. Sooner or later, there will be opposition, and sometimes that opposition even leads to suffering. But still, Jesus offers only two alternatives: confess him or deny him. There's no third way. Silence isn't an option, and you and I both know that saying nothing can often say a great deal. Neutrality isn't possible. There's no Switzerland between the kingdom of Christ and the power of the devil. Islam has a doctrine that they call taqiyya, that allows Muslims to hide their beliefs and even to stop their practices, their religious practices, when in danger. But Christianity doesn't. When asked, Jesus makes no allowances for hiding your faith. He makes no allowances for pretending like you're not a Christian. He offers no category for believing in him in your heart, but denying him in your life. Christians are called to be Christians inside and out, through and through, to be whole life, lifelong followers of Christ in heart, soul, mind, and strength. So you can't sort of confess Jesus, or maybe confess him, or confess him only when the winds are favorable. It's either confess or deny. By now, I imagine that you're already thinking of St. Peter. How could you not? Yes, Peter denied Jesus three times, but don't forget that before he denied Jesus, he also confessed the Lord. In the region of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Guess who piped up? Simon Peter. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." "You're right." He made a good confession. "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah." The trouble came later. The trouble came when St. Peter was asked by a servant girl around a fire in a courtyard in the middle of the night, "Aren't you a Christian? What are you doing here?" Fear grabbed hold of him. You can almost feel that cold sweat trickling down his back and his heart pounding in his chest. A servant girl. He wasn't ready. He was weak. He was faithless. He took his eyes off Jesus, so he denied it before them all. Denied it with an oath. Finally, denied it with a curse on himself. "I don't know the man." So St. Peter both confessed Jesus and denied Jesus. So where does that leave him?
Our lives and our conversations confess or deny Jesus too. Certainly we know that our words matter, but we also ought to remember that our actions matter too. How we spend our time, our energy, and our money matter. What we read, watch, and listen to matter. TV, internet, cell phones included. The jokes we tell and the comments we make, those matter as well. Those are ways of confessing or denying. Maybe we talk the talk, but how's our walk? Follow me, Jesus said. It's not just a metaphor. It's a way of life. Follow me. I am the way. The first Christians in the book of Acts are called members of the way. Now, in a normal year, this would be Consecration Sunday, a day for us to renew our confirmation vows and offer ourselves in service to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Confessing Christ is vital. Do you intend to live according to the Word of God and in faith, word, and deed remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? We can only say, I do, by the grace of God. By the grace of God. Not by my own strength or power, but by the grace of God. The grace of God that connects our faith with our lives. By grace we confess. By grace we live. When St. Peter confessed that Jesus is the Son of the living God, that was the gracious work of God in his life. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Jesus said, but my Father who is in heaven. Whoever confesses me before men, Jesus says. And yet he also tells the disciples to beware of men. We live our lives in the presence of other human beings. I suppose it'd be easy to confess Christ if we were off by ourselves and never had to interact with or see anyone else. But we live before others. Jesus makes no distinction between private and public lives. We confess Christ or we deny him in front of other people. Jesus even tells the disciples that they'll be dragged before governors and kings for his sake. And a bit closer to home, he mentions brothers and fathers and children and parents. You'll probably never be asked to confess Christ before a king, but you will have opportunity to confess him before family, friends, and co-workers. And this is also what we do each Sunday as we gather here. We confess Christ before other people. We confess Jesus in front of each other. We confess Jesus to each other. We say, I believe in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. This is one of the reasons that we need each other as Christians. One of the reasons that we need the Christian church and our Christian community. So that we can learn to confess Christ in a place where it is safe, in a place where it is encouraged, in a place where it is supported. Here among friends and fellow believers, we say the words. Our mouths form and shape them. Here we begin to embody the confession. Here we begin taking our first steps in following Jesus, even if our first steps are no better than that of a one-year-old beginning to walk. We simply toddle after Jesus. Here our lives are slowly shaped and pressed into the shape of Christ and his cross. And this confession we make together isn't something that we've created. It isn't something that we've made up. This confession also is given to us, revealed in the scriptures and handed down by the church. So Sunday after Sunday, we gather and we confess Jesus before others. The looming question, of course, is this. Is it enough? For all the times we've confessed Christ in the creeds here at church or elsewhere, we also know the many times that we've denied him in our words and in our lives. We've confessed him, and we've denied him. We are St. Peter, so where does that leave us? Will Jesus confess us before his Father in heaven, or will he deny us? Think about the context in which he says these words. The surrounding section where Jesus encourages us to confess him and not to deny him is filled with words of comfort. He doesn't leave us wondering. He begins by saying, "Have no fear." Then he says, "Don't fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul." Then he says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father in heaven. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." Those don't sound to me like the words of someone who is expecting or planning to deny us. And along with the words of Jesus, there's also the confession of his life. What do his actions say? Standing before Caiaphas and Pontius Pilate, what did Jesus confess? He confessed that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He confessed himself. In the very same moments that St. Peter was outside denying him, Jesus confessed who he is and what he came to do. And when the nails were driven into his hands, what did that confess? Every blow of the hammer confessed that your sins are paid for by his death. And those thorns pressed into his brow, what do those sharp thorns confess? They confess his body given for you and his blood shed for you. And the blood and water that flowed from his pierced side, what do they confess? Every drop confesses that he is your Savior. Every drop from his side that flowed to you in your baptism and is given, placed into your mouth in the Holy Communion, confesses that he died for you. You see, rather than deny himself, rather than deny the forgiveness that he came to win, Jesus died. He gave his life to confess you. In St. Timothy, we hear this trustworthy saying, "If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." When Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to St. Peter by the Sea of Galilee. There he did not deny Peter, but he restored him. He forgave his sins. He gave him, in fact, the calling to feed the sheep and to tend the flock, because Jesus cannot deny his own blood, and he cannot deny his own death on the cross, and he cannot deny those who are joined to him by water and the word. So even as we wrestle between confessing Jesus and denying him, we plead not our own confession. We plead not our own faithfulness, but we plead his faithfulness. And we plead his death for us. We plead those nails and those thorns. We plead that spear in his side. Indeed, this is our confession. Our confession is that Christ died for sinners like us, and that we are saved not by law, but under his grace, that we have a gracious Lord and Savior. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, knowing our Lord and Savior, who gave himself for us, emboldens us to confess him before others. When Jesus talks about confessing him before men, consider who the other human beings are before whom we confess Christ. They are sinners just like us. Sinners in need of a gracious and forgiving God just like us. Sinners in need of his thorns and his nails and the spear in his side. And this is why we confess Christ, why we must confess him, not as a law but out of grace, because I have no salvation apart from him, I have nothing apart from him, because I need him and his forgiveness so desperately. And so Jesus confessed your forgiveness by dying on the cross. He wrote your name in the palms of his hands. He inscribed you on his heart. He wrote you into the book of life in heaven. When he comes again in glory, when he stands before his Father, will he deny you? No, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. He will confess you, and confess you totally and completely forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Especially those in need. Faithful God, when we are fearful of our enemies and weary of the struggle, you have been our shield and our strength. Grant us the full measure of your grace to sustain us against all who are against us, and help us to endure the trials and temptations of this mortal life and remain faithful unto death. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Faithful God, when your with your favor upon us, help us in our fight against temptation and sin. Help us to live holy and righteous lives by the power of your Spirit, and keep us from surrendering ourselves to the slavery from which Christ has set us free. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Faithful God, with the witness of the saints before us and the courage of your Holy Spirit within us, we pray you to help us to maintain the faithful confession, and to contend for the faith in our own age, as Christians of all generations past have done, especially those who confess Christ at Augsburg. Give to all the churches of the Augsburg Confession unity of doctrine and a harmony of life, together under the cross of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Faithful God, we remember those who serve us in Jesus' name. Bless the leaders of our synod, all pastors and teachers, and all church workers, especially Reverend Ben Akers, as he begins serving the saints of the Lutheran Church of the Resurrection in Waterville, Maine. Make them all faithful in their calling and obedient in their lives to Christ's honor and praise. Raise up those who will follow in their steps and serve your kingdom in the years to come. We give thanks especially for restoring the health of our district president, Timothy. Enable him to continue serving you faithfully in his office. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Faithful God, our Heavenly Father, strengthen and preserve all fathers, that they would lead and teach their households well and in keeping with your word. Be father to the fatherless, those whose fathers have forsaken their responsibilities, and those whose fathers are at home with you. Give peace and comfort to those who long for fatherhood, and enable all Christian men to lead lives of service, confessing their faith in word and deed. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Faithful God, give healing and strength to the sick and all afflicted in body or mind, and grant to those who struggle the gift of peace, of mind and heart. Hear us especially for those who have requested our prayers, for Peter, the Zanesti's neighbor, for Luann's sister Karen as she undergoes testing, for John Hanlon's nephew Mike, for Gina, the mother of Laura Gull's co-worker, for those who are homebound, and for the expectant mothers. We pray also that you would restore our nation and the world in health and livelihood, and preserve us from pestilence and fear. Lord, in your mercy. Faithful God, give courage to those near life's end, and comfort those who mourn. As we recall the saints who trusted in you in life and who died in Christ, encourage us by the witness of your grace and by their faith so that when Christ comes in glory, we may be found faithful and enter with them into the glory of your eternal presence. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Faithful God, by your word and table, you continue to feed and nourish your people with all that will sustain our lives in body and soul. Help us to receive these gifts with repentance and faith. Bring us to that day when all earthly divisions will cease, and united in faith, we shall be one people before your altar. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Faithful God, sanctify us as your people, and make us bold to confess you on earth. When this earthly life is ended, and we stand before you on high, grant us to hear the Savior's acknowledgement that we are his, and he is ours forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All these things, Father, and everything else for which we need, we pray that you would grant to us for the sake of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who died and rose and lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying, In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed the forgiveness of your sins.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.